I'm Dr. Becker, and this is a four-year study I did in western South Dakota, breast cancer screening patterns related to mammography adherence among Northern Plains tribes, American Indian women. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-PI, Dr. Nancy Waltmans from the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and also acknowledge my grant support, which I received with support for the Centers for Disease Control, the South Dakota Department of Health, the American Cancer Society, and Sigma Theta Tau over that period. Background. American Indian women have the highest proportion of late-stage breast cancer diagnoses with the lowest survival rate among all ethnic groups. Healthy People 2010 mammography standard, I think, is important to point out, and that is that to increase to 70% the proportion of women who receive a mammography in the preceding 2 years. So using that standard, we can see that only 25 to 40% of American Indian women obtained mammography, compared to 82 to 90% of Caucasian women. And I looked at the years 2000-2002. At that time, no published reports of regular interval mammography screening have been reported for this particular tribe, the Northern Plains tribes, for American Indian women. So clearly not all populations are receiving equal benefits from the breast screening programs we have out there, and more studies need to be conducted examining mammography use. The primary purpose of this mixed method study was to explore, examine, and identify breast cancer screening variables and the relationship to mammography adherence among Northern Plains tribes. Published studies about American Indian women living in urban settings with bordering reservations such as mine. This particular urban community is only 60,000 people, but it is bordered by three different reservations. So this is kind of a distinct type of community, and it's not been seen in the literature. As everyone knows, to work with cross-cultural work, you need to go through important gateways, and I found that Indian people want quality research, but they need to know what you're doing and assurance that the data will be shared with them when you're done. And that's probably the primary lesson I learned through going through the Indian Health Service IRB. Because they were urban and considered intertribal, I was not required to seek approval from specific tribes. I also went through the Rapid City Tribal Chairman's Health Board and the Northern Plains Epicenter, who was very helpful in helping me prepare my IRB application. So I truly entered into a research bargaining process. It was a priority of theirs, you know, as well as mine. This mixed method study planned integration of qualitative and quantitative data within a study. And I have found in the literature as well, it supports the use of this as it enriches research inquiry, enhances the evidence base. And I found it very important in gaining entry into the population. My first study was a qualitative focus group talking circles study where it explored the experiential view of cancer and breast and cervical cancer screening, and it really helped me inform my variables for study two. I won't say a lot about this study due to time, but excuse me. Oops, I went the wrong way. Here we go, the mixed message study I was talking about but didn't have the slide up. And study one, explored the experiential view. This is published in Public Health Nursing in 2006, and I worked with Madonna Blue Horse Beard as my facilitator. But it just helped immensely as a data collection strategy and really getting the women involved. I used something called Afonso's Analytic Schema. My mentor was a Native Hawaiian woman who's now back in Hawaii, who at the time was in Nebraska. So if you wanted to learn more about her schema and what the women had to say about cancer and breast and cancer screening, you can go to that article. So So the present study is a descriptive correlational design. The setting is two outpatient IHS clinics, like I said, within this urban setting in western South Dakota. The sample was 1,121 women age 40 and older using Aberdeen Area Indian Health Service clinical services between July 1st, 1999 and June 30th, 2004. Even though this is a five-year period of time, we settled in on 36 months of data because in these clinics, because of the boarding reservations, there's a lot of on and off reservation migratory patterns. And I wanted to make sure we were including the active users because I wasn't looking at one-time mammography use. I was looking at regular interval use. This gives you an example of the state. There's actually two reservations down by Pine Ridge, Oglala Sioux, Rosebud Sioux, and then Cheyenne Eagle Butte up by Eagle Butte, South Dakota. The number two over there is Rapid City. So you can see the distance people do have to drive. There is a fixed mammography unit in Pine Ridge, but that is the only one besides the one here in Rapid City. So it gives you some idea already of the barriers women face to get their mammography. Conceptual framework, I use the health belief model. I use different constructs from that model. I did not use it intact. The source for this theory was a review of the literature, talking circles, what women told me during those talking circles, and I found their attitudes were congruent with the perceived health belief way of thinking. I also worked with an anthropologist from New Mexico who felt the health belief model was congruent with attitudes of the medicine wheel. This is the conceptual framework I used and some of the variables you can see, the four aims, and then of course my outcome, mammography adherence, every 15 months over 3 to 5 years. This was probably the most difficult part of the study for me, is defining fairly what 100% adherence would be. In the literature, we know from the American Cancer Society, it is defined as every 12 months, but I used every 15 months because I found health system delays occur frequently when women schedule mammography. I had worked in this setting a couple of years prior to that, doing some case management and tracking. And so, in all fairness to women, it was virtually impossible to get in every 12 months. Maybe the radiology technician was due for her certification. There were just various things. The radiologist left, and they were sending the mammographies to a radiologist in Texas, and just a lot of health system delays. Data collection and validation. I did do a validation first because I got into the electronic database at IHS. It hasn't really been used before for research purposes, but they gave me permission. So I did a pilot first with charts, and I found a match. So I proceeded to the study using this data retrieval from the NCI, Patterns of Care Among Native Americans, which had been previously used by the headquarters in Albuquerque, and I got a hold of an epidemiologist there, and I was able to extract files from the IHS database, and I had already had training on the QMAN, the query management tool. The results of this study, and because we were looking at, again, those 15-month intervals over 3 to 5 years, I originally started off with 2,500 women, but there were really only 1,120 women, which I was still very happy with that sample size, that were active users. The mean age, 53.7 years, and the range of years, 40 to 95. And you can just see some of the barriers here as you look down. Some of them have a very high ambulatory visits per year, but in Indian Health Service, they count going to a dentist as a clinic visit, going to the pharmacy, a clinic visit. So it's interesting what they consider ambulatory visits. 95% in this urban population did have telephone access, but that didn't mean it was consistent telephone access. If it was school time and they needed to purchase clothes, a lot of times their phone was unhooked during that month to pay for clothes. And so it's, even though the access was there, was not necessarily reliable over time. 63% had had at least one pap test, 11% had abnormal pap tests, and this is a population where cervical cancer rates are sky high compared to the rest of the Caucasian population in particular. 18.32 miles is the average miles from the mammography site, and personal history, 34% had diabetes. You can kind of see that many women do have an IHS payer for these mammograms, but they also are on other insurances as well. 24% carried private insurance as well as IHS. So there was a combination, Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. The mammography adherence rate was 37%, standard deviation of 39.5. 20% had a mammogram every 15 months. 37% had a mammogram every 30 months. 45% had no mammogram during the study period. And we could see that they were active users. This is just when you have a large sample like this, you need to do a hierarchical regression, which we also were looking at building a predictor model to see which models we would work with in the next study, and this is the approach we used. And you can see that the first block of models, the health promotion disease prevention behaviors that we selected, the variables were the accounted for 42.5% of the model. The results also indicate that the best fitting model accounted for 49% of the variance in mammography adherence and contained variables from all four of those modified health belief model related constructs I used in this sample. So I considered this a 49% variance on an acceptable finding. Mammography adherence rates, 37% in this example of Northern Plains Tribes American women, are not meeting standards for mammography adherence established by the ACS. We know that, and healthy people standards, and that was my primary reason for conducting this study. The community and IHS in this area did not really know what kinds of mammography screening rates they were working with. Women most at risk were for not obtaining a mammography every 15 months were younger women, which surprised us. We thought it'd be the older women, women on Medicaid, no private insurance, women who were also non-adherent to PAP testing, fewer ambulatory visits per year to the clinics. They had a personal history of diabetes, also surprising, no telephone access, and resided over 30 miles from the mammography site. So these are the women we're going to target primarily in the next study. The limitations are, of course, that with a health belief model, you can't really ascertain perceptions in a database study, but I still found it a helpful model to use. I also found that the IHS administrative electronic system really was built for managers to do their quarterly reports, not for researchers. There were some limitations. For instance, you couldn't get demographic variables. They consider those types of variables, such as how much you make, irrelevant. They don't like to ask women that. So that there were some limitations. I also could not find clinical breast exams, and I know all the coding system and their ICD-9. But it was so inconsistent that it wasn't a reliable variable, which disappointed me. Implications for practice are that current health strategies of promoting regular interval mammography adherence are insufficient and must be addressed within the system. IHS electronic database will need improvements before breast screening intervention effects can be reliably tracked. So that was another reason I wanted to really get in and use the database, because I do need to see the baseline before we begin an intervention. And there are questionable places as far as tracking an intervention with the current system, unless improvements are made. Current strategies for promoting mammography adherence should be targeted to American women most at risk for non-adherence. And in the previous slide, you saw what some of those predictor variables might be. And the use of elder women as role models. If elder women are getting their mammograms, we need to consider them, and this is a respected figure in the community already. But that was a very surprising finding. Work with identified health facility barriers. And we know what some of those are. Indian Health Service has actually been very open at this point, but it's no small task to change a system. Future research, as I said, are interventions promoting mammography adherence that are targeted to at-risk women and incorporate a women's health perspective. That women's health perspective is missing in their system, and I wrote a lot about that in the Talking Circles publication. And the women want something done for them. It's hard for them to see other mammography clinics with the fuzzy robes and, you know, nice facilities when they just seem to get delayed. Some of them don't even get reminder letters partly because of their migratory status. They move, but also they would just like to know that their system cares about them was a big theme. Future research also will be targeting those women that were found to be most at risk, as I mentioned earlier. And I look forward to, you know, working with the next study. We'll see if I get approved or not. But I think I might be. I have a minute or two for discussions. I apologize. I will need to leave to catch my plane. So I'd like to entertain any questions now. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I saw what you said were the predictors of non-adherence. Mm-hmm. What were the predictors of adherence?
Well, older women. I had one lady in the database that was 99 years old that was every 15-month mammography adherence. So older women, women who had private insurance along with their IHS, women who lived closer to the mammography site within that 18-mile radius, and women who did not have diabetes also seem to be more adherent, which we need to look at more closely, because those women generally have many more clinic visits. But what we found in the literature with another study in Shine Eagle Butte is even though they have diabetes and they're seen in the clinic more often, they're not being asked about cancer screening. They're concentrating on their complications, and it's not stressed as much, the early detection. So that was that could be the possible reason.
Yes.
Good question. It's interesting you say that, because while we were working, I was looking at the Latino literature, and there were a lot of parallels, and that was a major theme, yes, in the Talking Circles, putting family before themselves, and that was one of the primary themes. Many of them are single parents and putting their children before themselves, but the grandmothers seem to be coming forward, which is promising. Right. Yeah, there's some real things we could do there, I think, that would involve them. And my next step is to ask, you know, have some type of advisory council that would help me in that direction as far as those kinds of messages. So, thank you. Oh, go ahead. Yes.
How are we going to interview those who are
Well, her question was first about risk and also then secondly about the next steps with intervention. I think that the younger women could have, one of the themes was that breast cancer is a white woman's, perceived as a white woman's disease. And it's different for women to start thinking about themselves living longer when their life expectancy is still in the 50s. So breast cancer, yes, wasn't something that they had thought about. They think about diabetes when they go to the clinics. And they do get reminders with the screenings. I've seen them on the charts, but they are not coming through. So there is that's a very good point. There's probably a perception of risk there that they haven't sat back and looked at their health in the same way maybe that the older women are. The other question is the intervention is going in the direction of a type of role modeling, you know, using some of those variables, but it has not been fully developed as of yet. I need more input, but I'm trying to use the variables I learned, but I did find the qualitative study to be the most informative, and this larger database study was very interesting as well, because clearly we need to involve the health system. We can't just blame women for not getting mammographies in this environment. So, any other questions? Thank you.